Of Memvav and Beis, Tanur Rabbanan, the last line on the Amud. And now we're going to learn about things where you're not going to be Mechabe to Gadol. There's no din of Kedima here to honor anyone who's great. Tanur Rabbanan, a Mechabdin lo bedrachim. So we're talking about Holchei Drachim, people on the way. And let's say they meet each other, Bein Ir Le'ir. One doesn't have to say to the other, you know, you're the Gadol, you go first and I'll go behind you. And in all these cases, there's no kibud, there's no maila, there's no anhaga tova here, there's no musar. And basically, in holchei drachim, they're going from one city to the other, wherever they're going within the city. And the Meiri says that even drachim inside the city, you don't have to be mechabed, because if you're going to have to be mechabed every gadol, every time you're in the city on the way, there's ein l'dover sof, it's too much, it's too complicated. The day is too short for the malacha. And the next case is lo b'ksharim, they're passing over a bridge, you don't have to be mechabed the gadol, that he should go before you. You know, a bridge could be considered a makom sakana. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, and therefore in a makom sakana, we're in a rush over here. We don't have time to start giving out kibudim. Rabbeinu Yonah also explains that a sakana would be intensified if we have to cross the geshem and figure out who goes first and who goes second, and therefore, if you ain't lechabed, he says simply, you're not going to lechabed someone when it's possible. You'll bring yourself into danger as a result. And here we turn to Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. V'lo biyadai mizohamos. And if your hands have to be cleaned at the end of a meal, for example, we wash my machronim. We don't give a covet to the gadol, who should go before him as far as my machronim is concerned. Now, l'chora, this is against what we learned back on Daf Mem Vav, that we said that if there are five people in the zimun, then we're going to begin my machronim from the gadol. You know, he's going to go first. He doesn't have to wait too long for the other four. So we see that we are mechabed the gadol in my machronim. Perhaps that kibud there is kvaro shel gadol, not so much for his kavod personally, but for the kavod abracha, so that he'll have enough time to look into the brachos and prepare them. And we don't want to, you know, hold up that process through netilas mayim achronim. In any event, let's mention here the Lunil. He says that in our Gemara, we're not talking about Mayim Achronim, we're talking about Mayim in the middle of the meal. Like, let's say, for example, they used to take Dugim, and they used to take a break between Dugim and Basa. They would drink Mayim in between, whatever the case may be. There was Mayim in the middle of the meal. You know, as far as Mayim Achronim is concerned, the Rimi Lunil says, I have no doubt that we're talking about Mayim Shel Chova, and with Mayim Shel Chova we have to be Mechabe the Gadol, as we learned earlier. The Ravid says that when it says here Velobi Adai Mezumos, that means he shouldn't use a cotton for the sake of a Gadol in any Shimush of Yadav Mezumos. So a cotton, when he wants to serve a Gadol, he should first make sure his hands are clean from Zihum. The Meiri says that we have a chashash that if a person will be so torud with giving out kibudim, he might forget about his zuma, and he might touch his clothing and soil them and so forth and so on. Now, the reason why ein mechabdin biyadayim zuamos, we'll find a number of explanations in the Rishonim. The Meiri says that there might be a sakon of melech sdomis, in which case it goes back to the case of gsharim, where there's an element of danger involved. And this is based on a gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Hey, that netilas mayim achronim is because of melech sdomis, that he might come and touch his eye. And we have a Rashbeitz here. The Rashbeitz says that in the case where there's a little bit of sakana here and it's tzar to sit with your yadayim mezumos, it's not considered a chutzpah to wash your hands before the gadol. And that doesn't undermine his kavod. Ravin v'abayi haviko azli be'orcha, the two great rabbis were on their way, and they were on the derech, they were riding their donkeys, kadmei chamrei de ravin le'dabayi, the chamor of ravin was ahead of the chamor of abayi, v'lo omerle, and ravin did not say to abayi, who was greater than him, nasal mar, you're the other person that I have to give kavod to, you go in front of me. But rather, Abai said, Omar, midasalik hai mirabonim mirava, from the time that this Talmud Chacham came back from Eretz Yisrael, after he learned from Chachamim, gosle daite, he became sort of like full of himself. He became a gas. He became someone who considered himself to be so choshev, and therefore he didn't stop, he didn't hesitate, he wasn't able to go in front of me. Kimotel epischa de Beit Knishta, when they got to the Pesach de Beit Haknesses, Amalei Ravin says to Abaye, Nail Mar, meaning my Kvodo, that's how we say it here in Israel, Kvodo, you go first. Amalei Abaye said, Ravi ad hashto lav marhano, till now you didn't call me your master. What, I wasn't royal? All of a sudden, I got to the Pesach Pesach Medrash, and now you give me this respect. What happened in between? Like during the road, I somehow became somebody who's a gadol. Omalei, so Ravin said, "Tavai hachi omer Rav Yochanan, mechabdim ele bePesach sheyes ba mezuzah." When we mechabed a gadol, and he should go first. That's only in a Pesach that has a mezuzah. No, until now, we're out in the derech, and therefore, I wasn't medagdeg, wasn't careful about being mechabed you. So the Gemara immediately asks on Rabbi Yochanan, what does it mean dafka bePesach the ispe mezuzah in the lespe mezuzah lo? You don't have to be makdim someone. Elamiato bate knesios bate midrash the lespe mezuzah chenami de mechabdim. Our shuls, our synagogues, and our houses of study do not have a mezuzah. That's a sugya yuma and daf yud alf amid beis. That if there's no dira, nobody's living there, we don't put mezuzahs there. So you're going to tell me that when I get to the Pesach of a beis medrash, beis knesses, I don't have to be mechabed the gadol to go in first? So therefore, ela ema, we sort of have to backtrack a little, that what Rabbi Yochanan said was, ein mechabdim ela bePesach haroy lemezuzah. In other words, you should be mechabed for any knisa to any Pesach, because it's always royal in mezuzah. The base knesses, base medrash, it's royal in mezuzah. I mean, it could be that it won't get a mezuzah because it's not mokum dira, but it's royal in mezuzah. And if that be the case, we understand very well why Ravin was mechabed Abai when they got to the Pesach of the base HaKnesses, of the base HaMedrash. Now, when we get to Drachim, and those are places, open little places that you get to where there's no Pesach and there's no mezuzah, it's not royal mezuzah, you don't have to be makdim the gadol. The Gemara now brings other ethical or etiquette, midos, tovos, musar, derech eretz, with regard to Suda, Omer Rav Yehuda, Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei Derav, Ein HaMesubim Rashaim Lechol Klum Ad Sheyitom HaBotzeah. Those who are going to fulfill their mitzvah of bracha by listening to the bracha of the botzeah, who's in charge of cutting the bread, they're not allowed to begin to eat until the botzeah himself eats first. And that was because each one has to get a piece of bread to be torn from his kikar, the kikar of the botzeah. It's not derech kavod that they should start grabbing from the kikar and putting it in their mouth. Let's wait for the botzeah. He should be first. Yosef Rav Safra v'ka'omar litom itmar. Rav Safra, who heard the words of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, he said the following. It's not the way you understood it. But rather, Einam Asam Rishom Litom Itmar. It doesn't say Lechol, it should say Litom. In other words, Lamaisa, there's a difference here between Lechol and Litom. Lamai Nafkemina, what is the difference? And the Gemara says, Shechayev Adam Lomar Biloshan Rabo. So the Gemara says, Einochinami, Litom and Lechol in this context would really mean the same. But when you say over Shmua, you should say it over exactly and be mocked the way you heard it from your Rebbe. And Rav Safar heard from Rav that he said Litom. Now, why did Rav choose the word Litom? There must have been a reason for that. Now, before we get to that, we'll take a look at the Hagos Fitzionim here quotes a Ksavyad that it's Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rav, and Eina Mesubim Rashoim Litom, and the word here should be Litom, and perhaps, you know, the only reason why Rav Safra made this big deal about Litom is wanted to teach us that you should always use the Lashon of your Rebbe. But even if Rav Safra was makpid on that there shouldn't be a Shini Lashon, we should really understand why the Rebbe, in this case Rav, why was he so careful about saying Litom or Lechol? I mean, it's Mimonoshach, you know, if Lechol means something in Litom, so why was it that Rav said Lechol? And we have to have Rav Safra correcting that those who said this in the name of Rav, they made a boo-boo. He didn't say Litom, he didn't say Lechol, he said Litom. So I just want to point out that we do find differences between a Te'im and Achila with regard to Hilchus Tainios. A person accepted upon himself a tainus, a fast day, he's allowed to be toim and then spit it out. He didn't accept upon himself anything more than achila, that he wouldn't eat something. And this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tav Kuf Samach Zayin. So when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that only achila was prohibited, and Rav Safra says no, even ta'ima was prohibited, this could be a major nafkamina. So it's not just a question of, you know, be careful to say it over the way your Rebbe said it, but there are lacking differences here. Now, the Zichron Yosef, one of the Achronim, says that the language, the word lechol, is shaykh even on achila in blia. And basically, lechol could mean tchilas achila. And when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Lechol is Asur, what he meant to say was even Hascholas Achila. And that's basically identical with what Rav Safra says by identifying it as Te'ima. So although, again, in Halacha, there's no difference here in this context between Achila and Te'ima, but you really have to know the Rebbe's language so you mark it to say that he's talking about Te'ima. Rabbi Barbar Chana v'osik le'lebre, he was marrying off his son to a woman, Bei Rav Shmuel Bar Ketina, in the house of Rav Shmuel Bar Ketina. So you get the impression that Rav was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Ketina. And Kamasni le libre, he taught, Masni is Miloshin Lilamed, he taught his son Hilchas Suda. According to them, in Hagam, the Chasan would be the Botzeh to Suda. So Rav is coming to teach his son, the Chasan, exactly how to be knowing with regard to Vitzias Hapas. And he said to him, Ein Habotzea Rashoy Livtsoa Ad Sheyichla Ome Mipi HaOnim. So the Botzea will cut the bread after he finishes Birkas HaMazon, but I'm sorry, Birkas HaMotzi, but that's not enough. He has to wait a little bit longer until everyone around him who has a chelik in this bracha, has been yotzi with this bracha, will respond to Amen. So the Siyum HaBracha here is with the Amen when Yichle Amen Mipi HaOnim. And Rav Chisda says, Mipi Rov HaOnim. As you don't need that every last owner has to finish his Amen if you have the majority, then that's okay. You don't have to wait for the minority. Go ahead and do the bitsua. Again, we're talking about the Amen after Birchas HaMotzi. It's going to take a while for the tzibur to finish. Everybody get a chance to say Amen. And Amen is part of the bracha. There's no bitsia until the bracha is over. Amale Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama turns to Rav Chisda, and he says the following: Maishna, what's the difference between rov and miut? Rav Chisda was the one who said that as long as the rov ha'onim have responded to Amen, then the botseah can go ahead and do the bitziah. He doesn't have to wait for the siyum of the miut. And now Rami Bar Chama is questioning the premise that underlies Rav Chisda's distinction between rov and miut. In other words, the reason here, Tamo Shel Dovar, why is he waiting until the end of Amen, of Ruba, of rov the Shomim, until they finish Amen? And that's because Dakati Lo Kalya Bracha, that the bracha is not complete until after the gathered group has recited Amen. But lokalya bracha, in other words, the anias amen of the tzibur that are listening and biyotzi through your bracha, that is the siyum bracha. Their amen is the siyum bracha. So if that be the case, even in the case of rov, we should probably be waiting for the miut as well, because the siyum bracha depends upon everyone finishing Amen. So we should be waiting around until the miut jumps on board and says Amen. Amaleser, Rav Chisda says to Rami Bar Chama, Shani Omer Kala Ona Amen, Yosemidai Eino Elatoa. Now, what's going on here is that the people in the kahal, shall we say, are reciting Amen after they hear the bracha of the Botseya, and they're taking their time, and they're being marach in Amen. So, do we have to wait for them? And Rav Chisda says, "Well, we have to wait for the onim if they're rov, but if they're miut, we don't have to wait for them." Shani Omer Kala Ona Amen Yosemidai Eino Elatoa. And therefore, the Amen of this miut, the reason why we're waiting for their Amen is because they were Marech Yosemidai. And that's not included in the bracha. And the whole point here of Ad Sheichla Amen is to set up a Siyum HaBracha. And if the miut of people have not yet said Amen, we could still have a Siyum HaBracha without them. Just because they decide to be Marech, that doesn't mean that we have to wait for them for the bracha. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, in Onim lo Amen Chatufa, lo Amen Ketufa, lo Amen Yisoma, velo Amen, velo Yisroch Bracha Mipiv. So we have here an exclusion of various categories of Amen. These are the improper and disqualified Amen. One is an Amen Chatufa. He grabs the word, and instead of saying Amen, pronouncing each letter in the word, he was Chotef, he grabs the Aleph in the Amen. So all you hear is Main. You don't even hear the word, you don't even hear the Aleph pronounced. V'lo Amen Ketufa. Ketufa means it's kind of plucked early, which means that he leaves out the nun of Amin. So in the case of Chatufa, he leaves out the Aleph of Amin. In the case of Amin Yisoma, Amin Chatufa, he's leaving out the nun of Amin. Velo Amin Yisoma. Amin Yisoma means we don't know what it's connected to. It's floating out in midair. It's not connected to any bracha that he's responding to. So, for example, if he has others that are answering Amen, and he just parrots them and says Amen, that's not meaningful, because he doesn't know what the Amen is all about. Any Adel Ma on Amen, the Amen has to be attached to something, some sort of bracha. Otherwise, it doesn't have the status of a continuation of that bracha or replacement of that bracha. So if he doesn't know on which bracha, to which bracha he's responding, Amen, he just hears everyone else saying Amen, so he says Amen, jumps on board, is then he's like a Yisoma who doesn't have a father. V'lo Yizrok bracha mipiv, but rather he should, instead of just rattling off a bracha, he should say each word carefully with kavana and with the right kavana. But lo yizrok bracha mipiv, the mavarech should not say the bracha too quickly. Now, until now we've been talking about amen. Now it seems like we're moving on to a discussion about the bracha itself. Ben azay omer kol ona amen yisoma yu banav yisomim. Wow, terrible punishment. Chatufa yischatfu yomav. Ktufa yiskatfu yomav. V'chal marich, a little bit. Chal marich be amen, to fulfill the requirement of the shir, that he should be able to say kel melch neman, is maricha lo yomav ushnosav. Have a good long life, as long as he's not marich in amen too much. You know, he should find a medium, a nice balance, and the shir should be the time it takes to say the three words, Kel Melech Ne'aman. And if he hits that, that's perfect, and he'll be rewarded. But he shouldn't be stretched out longer than that. Now, the Achronim clarify that Chatfa, the word Chatfa here, in the Amen Chatufa, is Kore ke'ilu ha'alif nekuda or nikde bechat of patach. So he says amen instead of amen. So that's a different twist than what we saw here based on Rashi, and that is that he left out the aleph of the amen. There's also another interpretation of the aruch. He says that chotef means he very quickly responds amen before the mevarech has completed his bracha, and that he's not allowed to do. The Rabbeinu Yonah has a pshat that chotef means he swallows up his words. He says his words very quickly. Now, when he says amen with any other nekudos, like he says uman, which is a shuruk, or he says oman, which is a cholam, all of these ain mashmos perusho lashon amnam dvarim. None of these words that he mispronounced have the meaning or convey the message that that we have amuna, that we have hamonas advarim. We confirm that which was said in the bracha, and we believe that it will come to pass. Now, we said before that we thought that perhaps we would wait for everyone to finish Amen before we do the Betziyas HaPas, but what I mean to say is that we should wait, we thought perhaps, for everyone, even for the mute, in order to do the Betzia. And we're waiting for the Mir to recite Amen, but perhaps, and this is Rav Chizda's point, we don't have to wait for that miut, because apparently they were marach bi ome, and called marach one om bein yosemidai eno elo eno latoa. The Tosus points out that the kriyas hateva, the reading of this word, is not heard properly. You don't pronounce it the right way if you're marach yosemidai. And the Shalosh says that if you're marach on the teva of omen yosemidai, it doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. It's as if he didn't say omen. So we have to make sure that people are not marach to recite omen too long, you know, to stretch it out too much. Now, as long as the majority hasn't said amen, then you know that the people are still saying amen at a normal, you know, speed. Then we spoke about an amen ketufa, which we said he left out the nun of the amen. So he said amen without a nun. And Rabbi Yonah says that he doesn't mention all of the letters. So whatever he leaves out of the Aleph Mem Nun, that comes under Amen Ketufa. Then he has Amen Yisoma, where he waits from the bracha until he finally answers Amen. So that shiui, that delay in time, in effect undermines the validity of his Amen. So, for example, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah about the Beis HaKnesset in Egypt, in Alexandria, that it was so large that not everyone could hear the Chazan. And what they do is they used to wave the flags when they got to the word Amen, and it was time to the word Amen. Now, if they knew the Seder HaBrachos, they knew exactly what bracha they were up to, because they would count one after the other. They would know which bracha they're saying Amen to. And therefore, they're allowed to recite Amen when they see the Hanofas HaSudrim, when they see these flags, you know, waving back and forth. Here in our sugi, we're talking about a person who doesn't know which bracha he's reciting Amen to. And that's because it's an Amen Yisoma. And this prohibition against reciting an Amen Yisoma is only if the owner is chayav in that bracha, and he wants to be yotze his chova by saying Amen. And under such circumstances, even if he heard the Tchilas HaBrach, but he didn't hear the Chasima, he's not allowed to respond Amen. It's an Amen Yisoma. But let's say he's not chayv in the Bracha, even if he doesn't know Bechlal what Bracha is being recited, he's allowed to respond Amen. And normally that would be considered as an Amen Yisomi. He doesn't know what bracha he's being Amen on. Now, there is a pshat here, some of the Rishonim apparently, that Amen Yisoma means he heard the bracha, he waited a period of time, and as we said before, that was a shir of Shehiya, in which he could have said Kael Melech Nema, and that already makes it into an Amen Yisoma. It's like a person's carrying a very heavy burden and he just wants to chuck it off. It's too heavy for him. And when he chaps around his amen, then it sounds like he's just being porik all. He just wants to get it over with. He has to recite amen with full kavana. Now, it could be that the Mavarech, in certain cases, should make a heker, should indicate that he completed the bracha. So we're talking about the Mavarech making a heker because he doesn't want someone else to be guilty of, let's say, being Zorik Mipiv. And this might indicate a whole nother pshat in our Gemara, that when the Gemara says, V'lo Yizok Bracha Mipiv, what it's coming to tell you is that the Mavarech should be careful not to be Zorik or Somipiv. Notice there are certain words in the middle of a bracha that he can sort of rush through, but not when he gets to the end of the bracha, because others have to hear the end of his bracha. They have to know exactly when he completed his bracha, and then they'll recite Amen. So he has to make sure that, you know, the call will get the will get the message that he's completed his bracha, and he can do that if he recites the bracha, or at least the end of the bracha, very carefully, very, very slowly. Ben Azi says, "Kolom in Yisoma Yu, Bon of Yisoma, terrible punishment. Chatufa Yichatfu Yischatfu Yomav, Ketufa Yischatfu Yomav, and Kolom Marich Biyomei Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnosav, as we discussed earlier. Rav Ushmuel Havi Yasve Besuudasa. They were sitting at a suda, and there were only two for a zimun. That's not enough. They need a third. Asa Rav Simi or Rav Shimi Bar Chia." And he sat down there to eat. Havikomis harev viachal. He was eating very quickly. He wanted to make sure that he could finish his meal, you know, and sync it with Rav and Shmuel, who had started earlier, so that he could join them for the zimun. Amalei Rav. So Rav turns to Rav Shimi, and he says to him, "Mada tach? What are you concerned about? What's your assumption that litzarufei v'hadon?" That you think that in order to be mitzarif with us for the zimun, anan achilnalon, if we already finished our suda, you won't be able to join in with us. So again, even though we haven't recited the bracha yet, but you cannot be mitzarif to us and join us with the zimun if you're in the middle of the suda. So Rav is telling Rav Shimi that your understanding, and we see this from your behavior, that you're eating so quickly, is you think that to be mitzarif with us and be able to be mezamein is you have to speed up your eating so that we can fulfill Gadol Hashem Iti at the end of the at the end of the Suda. Anan achilnolan, we actually finished that suda before you started. So even if we haven't started the bracha, you cannot join and link up with our zimun. We have already mizman, we've already completed that suda. Amalei Shmuel. Shmuel says to Rav, "This is not correct. We're still considered to be in the middle of Asuda. Why? Because Ilu Maisili Ardilya Vigozlalya Liaba Milo Achlinon." If they would bring me out certain foodstuffs, he mentions a few. He speaks about Ardilaya is some sort of Kmohin Upitria, some sort of mushrooms. And very often they would bring this out at the end of the meal, or gozlayo li'aba, if they would bring for Rav, you know, certain types of a small piece of chicken or meat, you know, meat from a gozel, from a bird, and that would be the end of the suda. Milo achlina, would we not partake in this? We would eat this dessert. Why? Because we weren't mesiyatas from the achilu, we haven't really finished our suda, so therefore Rav Shimi can be mitztarif to us, and then we'll have a zimun. Shmuel argues with Rav. Rav says, "No, we already decided that we're not eating anymore, and therefore our suda is already it's time, it's already over, and then there's no way that Rav Shimi could join us." Comes on Shmuel, he says, "No, I'll prove to you that we haven't completed our suda. If they would still bring us dessert, we would be able to eat from the dessert. Even though after you finish your suda, you cannot eat from the dessert. But the answer is, this is not yet a complete, we haven't yet completed our suda." The Gemara brings another halacha with regard to zimun. Talmidei de Rav haviyasvi besuda. So the students of Rav were eating at a suda before they got a chance to finish their suda. And here we're starting on daf. No, I'm sorry, we're going to finish up almost on daf mem zainum nal. If we didn't get to the end yet. Then all Rav Acha came in and he joined them. Amri and the Talmidim said, to Rav Achan, also Gavra Rabba de Mevarachlan. Now we have an Adam Gadol who can make the bracha Birkas Hamazon on our behalf. Amaluhu, so Rav Achan said to the Talmidim of Rav, Misav Risu to Gadol Mevarach. You are convinced that halacha is that the Gadol in the Chabur makes the bracha. That's not so. Ikar Shebasuda Mevarach. He who was there from the beginning of the meal, one of them, and the, you know, whoever was there from the kickoff, he's the one who's the mevarich, not the gadol. If the gadol comes in later, as was the case here, and Rav Acha came in later, he doesn't get to be the mevarich. He shouldn't recite the Birkas Hamazon. But vehilchasa, the final maskana of the Gemara is la'alocha gadol mevarich. Afal gav di osel basof. Even if the gadol comes at the end of the meal, he still is the one to be mevarech. We still have to be mechabed him, that he should be motzi achem yidei chovasim by reciting Birkas Hamazon on their behalf. And as far as the dinim of derech eretz to be mechabdo, even if he comes at the end, we still have to be mechabed him. Now at this point, the Gemara shifts its emphasis back to the Hemshech HaMishnah, and we're going to try to give a few introductions here, and we should know a little bit more about Trumas of Maisrus and the Seder of Afrasha. After harvesting the crop, they do Disha Meruach, so they shake off the, first they loosen the chaff, and then they blow the chaff through the wind, and then they take from the tefuah, which is called Truma Gedola, 1 out of 50. It could be 1 out of 40, 1 out of 60, but let's say Beit Ani, normally it's 1 out of 52%. That's given as Truma Gedola. Then the Mafrish, 1/10 of what was left after the Truma, they give it to a Levi as Maser Rishon. Then, after they take off Maser Rishon, they have to take off another 10% of what was left, and that's called Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni is brought up to Yerushalayim, or it's subject to Pinyon and of Yerushalayim, and the food has to be eaten by Kedusha. And finally, the Levi has to be Mafrish from his Maser, another Maser, Asiris Min HaMaser, that's called Maser Min HaMaser, otherwise known as Trumas Masa, which is given to the Kohen. And all this is before we get to the Iser of Dmai, which is a rabbinic institution, a Gzera and a Takana, because the Ami Aretz were Chashudim that they weren't Mafrish Masa, so we can't trust them. We need Ashkocha. So that's called Dmai. So getting back to our Mishnah, Ochal Dmai, if he eats a bread that was made from Dmai, that means from wheat that was purchased from an Am HaAretz, and we don't know if the Am HaAretz for sure was Mafrish. So that's called Dmai. So the Gemara asks, how could it be possible that a person who's eating Dmai could be Mitztarif to Zimun, Ha Lo Chazile? If he hasn't taken masros from the tefuah that he purchased from the Amoritz, then that pas that he makes is not ruilo. He's not allowed to eat it. He violated the divrei chacham and he ate it, and he's got tmai. He's not allowed to eat tmai. So his birkas hamazon would be what we call a mitzvah baba vera. So why does the Mishnah say that we can just overlook the fact that it's Tmai and just add him into the Zimun? So the Gemara answers, Kevan di boy mafkil uhu v'nechase v'avi oni. The halacha is that the original takana of Tmai did not apply to Aniyah. Poor people were left out of the Yisr Tmai. And we're going to consider, as far as being mitztarif to a zimun, the fact that this person, even though he's not an oni now, and he is prohibited in tmai, but he could become an oni. It's a kind of a migu. Migu means that, in theory, he could become an oni. The chazile, and then he would be allowed to eat tmai. So therefore, the chacham were matir, they allowed the oni to eat tmai, and then, in the case of an asher who's eating tmai, then if he's eating a pas of tmai, then that's like eating heter and he's with starf lezimu. Again, even though he's not an oni, he hasn't been mafkir nechassim, but he could theoretically be mafkir's nechassim, which means that tmai is only osu tashir and it's mutataniyim. It's not your classic isa that fits into the pattern that once it's osu to everybody. So even though now he's not an oni, we can consider his achilas hapas as achilas heter. He can be mitztarif lezimun, and that's because he could possibly be, or shall we say, theoretically, be able to eat this pas even without a fresh shumas of maisus, if he would be mafkir's mamon. And again, I think I mentioned when we learned the Mishnah that it could be that we're talking about isu gavra versus isu chefta, and the fact that the chefta is mutter to X, and when it's also to Y, means that it's not really inherently a chefta di sura. And therefore, when he eats tmai, he can be mitztarif to a zimun, because it's not an achila sura from the perspective of the chefta. Tisnan, we have a mishnah in tmai, in the third peg, machila saniyim tmai. If you have fruits and then tmai, you're allowed to give them to the oni. And the oni does not have to be mafrish tmai for the sake of a poor person. Chachamim excluded the poor people from the Iser of Dmai, of Achilas Dmai. Now, Tzrichim Lachzor Lechazer Gam Al Pischei Amia Oretz. The Aniyim are such that they're going to have to knock on doors in order to get food, and very often they're going to knock on doors of Amia Oretz, and now they don't know whether thank God the Amia Oretz gave him a nice donation, a nice piece of food, but he doesn't know whether he can eat that food, that bread, because how does he know that the maaser was taken? We're talking now about tmai. So the answer is that Chachomim was somech for the sake of the Zimun on Rov, that Rov Amioritz Ma'asrin him. And the Mishnah continues and says, V'achsanya Admai. The Achsanya is also called an Ani. These are Chayalim, these are Jewish soldiers that are traveling from place to place. They don't have access to their house, and the people will have to support them because they have a din of an Ani, even though, again, they may have lots of money back at home, but they don't have access to that. And they need food, and in that context, as far as the food for the chayalim, when they're going from one place to the other, they are aniyim, they're not included in the isur tmai. There's another interpretation of achsanya in the Rishonim, and that is that we're talking about goyim. These soldiers are not Jewish, and the melech, the king, imposed a kind of a tax, if you will, on the Jewish people that they have to support these chayalim. And normally you're not allowed to give tevel to a goy because that's called parea chova b'mono shel kohen, he owes the kohen. But here, in the case of tmai, even though there is a sizable, recognizable percentage of the population of amiyaretz that are not mafrish tmai, but we're going to rely on the rov in this case. And because the melech is telling us that we have to feed these chayalim, we're going to feed them tmai, and that's mutter. The Rambam has a very strange comment here in his Pirush HaMishnayos in Masechet Tmai. He wants to suggest that achsanya is our guests, and in order to be mechazik the mitzvah of hachnosis orchim and to be mekel on the baal achsanya, the Rabbanah made a special takana that the orchim are allowed to eat tmai. And the Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Masu says mutu la'achal saniyim v'sa orchim tmai. He has the word orchim. It's a pel of a chidush. I wonder where the Rambam got this from, what the source of the Rambam is, to say that the orchim are allowed to eat tmai. And all this to be mechazik the mitzvah of achnosis orchim. It reminds me a little of, on Friday night, sometimes we rush a little bit for the sake of the orchim. Here too, we're going to be mekel for the orchim and allow them to eat tmai. That's the Rambam. It's a pretty big chiddush here in the Rambam. V'yomar Rav Huna Tana, I learned in the Brisa Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Machilin Saniyim V'Sachsan Yedmai, V'Sil Omrim Machilin Saniyim V'Sachsan Yedmai. Now the Mishnah speaks about Maser Rishon. So he made a loaf of bread out of Maser Rishon after Truma was taken by the Levi and given to the Kohen. So the Gemara says Pshita. I mean, there's no smell of Isur here at all. Not even a shmek of Isur, because Truma Gedola was taken, and Maser Rishon was taken, and Truma's Maser was taken. So what would the Hava mean that we wouldn't be mitzarif a person to a zimun simply because he was eating Maser Rishon shenitla truma? So what's the issue of Yelo Tzricha Ella Shehikdimo Bishibolim? The Levi got there first, so to speak, before the Kohen. The Kohen is meant to get truma first. The Levi took his Maser Rishon from the Tvua when it was still in a state of Gari Nim, of Shibolim, meaning it was in its natural chaff, it was covered by the chaff, so it was before Disha, before Meirua. So he's not chayev yet in Truma Gedola, and therefore he's not taking anything away from the Kohen. And Hifrish Mimeno, the Levi takes off Maser, and that's Truma's Maser. For lo Hifrish Mimeno Truma Gedola, he hasn't yet taken Truma Gedola. So if the Levi was Mafrish Trumas Maser, but he wasn't Mafrish Truma Gedola, then why is that called an Achilas Heter? Lechora, it should be Tevel if he didn't take Trumas Truma Gedola. So here the Gemara invokes the principle of Rabbi Avo, and the Avo says that as far as Hikdima V'Shibolim, the Levi is Potter from Truma Gedola, and therefore he's not eating tevel. Hence he can be mitzarif to the zimun. The Omer Rabbi Avoh, Omer Rabbi Yishlokish, Maser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibolim, Potter, the Levi himself who received the Maser, is Potter from Truma Gedola. Shenemar, it says in the context of the command to the Levium to give Trumas Maser, it says, Vare Mosem Mimenu, Trumas Hashem Maser, which means that from the Maser Rishon that you have received, the Torah says, you have to be Mafrish Truma. And this Truma is Maser Mina Maser. He's got to take a tenth of his Maser. Maser Mina Maser. Amarti L'chavlo Truma Gedolo Trumas Maser Mina Maser. So he doesn't have to give anything more than Trumas Maser Mina Maser. He doesn't have to give Truma Gedola as an addition. So let's give an example of what happened over here. The Truma Gedola in this particular scenario of Hikdimo B'Shibolim is Nesuna B'Toch HaMaser. It's actually swallowed up in the Maser. Let's say, for example, Hikdima B'Shibolim B'Shir Shel Echad Mi Chamishim. So 1/50, which is 2% of the Maser, was not given to the Kohen. So that's independent of the chiyuv of the Levi to be mafrish maser min a maser, which is called trumas maser. There's another 2% here that has to be given to the Kohen. The tvua of 100 saw, in which the maser of 100 saw would be asara sa'in, that has to be given to the Levi, and the Levi has to take out Maser to give to the Kohen. So if you had one saw for Trumas Maser and you had chamishis sa'a, which is 1/50 of a sa'a, and that would be truma gedola, so that he's not obligated to give. And it seems to me, if I understand correctly, the chiddush of this Mishnah is to teach you in the case of Hekdim v'shibolim that the Levi is potter from Truma. Even though in a certain sense the Truma Gdola is, when I say potter from Truma, I meant the Truma Gdola, the 2%, because the Truma Gdola is that the Truma Gdol, even though it's inherent, you know, it's really dormant, so to speak, in this Tvua, but nevertheless, we're not going to be Machayev the Levi when he gets the Truma, when he gets his Maaseh, to be Mafresh Truma of that 2%. Again, he has to be Mafresh 10% of his own, of whatever Tvua he was Zochin. Well, our Mishnah is predicated on Rabbi Avo, that the Levi does not have to give the Truma Gdola from this Maaseh. He has to give Truma's Maaseh. So let's say if there was 100 Sa to begin with and he got 10 Sa, then he's going to have to give 1 Sa, the Levi, to the Kohen. That's Truma's Maaseh. In the Havamina before Rabbi Avo, we'd say he has to give a Chamishis Sa, which is 1/50 of Maaseh from Eser Sa'in, for Truma Gedola. So Chamishis Sa'ah would be 1/50 of Eser Sa'ah, which he got as Maaseh, but that he doesn't have to give. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Rav Papa asked Abaye on with regard to Rabbi Avo's statement that the Levi is potter from Truma Gedola, the Hachi, if Rabbi Avo is correct, and we darshan from the Pasuk that the Levi gives Maaseh, he gives Truma's Maaseh from his Maaseh, but he doesn't give Truma Gedola. Why don't we go a step further and derive from this Afilu Ekdimo Bikri, which means that let's go to the following scenario, that after Disha and Meruach, but before Rias Pnei Abayis, the Levi Nami should be potur from giving Truma Gedola from his Maaseh. Why are we talking about a case of Hekdimo Bishibolim, where the Levi took his Maaseh before Meruach, even after Meruach? If it's Kri, he's still potur because it's before the Chiyuv of Truma Gedola. In order that you shouldn't make that mistake, the Torah taught us in the parasha of the Levim with regard to Truma's Maaseh. Here we turn to Mem Zayin Amid Beis, Mikol Masro Sechem, and then it says Mikol Matno Sechem Tarimu Es Trumas Hashem. So the emphasis here is on the word Kol Trumas Hashem, teaching us that any tzad of truma that shaykh in this maaser, even truma gedola, if it wasn't taken off, the levi was mocked into the kohen bikri, then the levi has to be mafresh. He has to be mafresh truma gedola. Now, lachora, this is strange because if we're talking about, we're talking before Rias Pnei Abayis, so what's the difference between Hekdimo B'Shibolim and Hekdimo B'Kri? In both cases, it's before the Chiv Truma emerges. So let's see the Kasha of Rav Papa. He asks Abaye on this Teretz, why is it that sometimes the Levi is Chayv to be Mafresh Truma Gedola and sometimes not? Mara Isa, what svar do you have to distinguish between the following two scenarios? That the pasuk in the case of Hekdimo B'Kri is Mechayev Truma Gedola, and in the case of Hekdimo B'Shibolim is Potemi Truma Gedola. Maybe we could say the other way around. What's the hechrich here? So Abaye answers, "Hi, idgan, v'hai lo idgan." In the case of Kri, the Tfua is already called Dagon. That's what the process of Meruach accomplishes. So it's called Dagon, and it's a Chovas Nesinas Truma Gedol LeKohen. Again, I'm not sure what that means, because we need Rias Pnei Abayis, but is mistabish a bechol she'al ofen zem medabra kosev hamechayves al levi lafrisho ve'ilu high in the case of Hikdima Shibom lo idgan. So the levi did not take a chelik of ma'aser after there was already a chiyuv truma gedola. He got there before the chalos truma gedola, and therefore it's logical that in this scenario we should say that the levy is parted from Afrosha because it didn't reach the state of Digun. So what happens is that there are two processes here. First is Meruach, and the second is Kri. Now, if the grains were not subject to Meruach, and they're still covered by the Shibolim, then we don't have any Chovas Truma at all, whatsoever. Why? Because the Torah says, Reishis Degoncha, and this is not Digun. Digun means after the winnowing process. So the Gemara's kasha here of Mar Rois was the following: why you mechalik between Hikdima Bekri and Hikdima Beshibolim to say that Hikdima Beshibolim the Levi is potter from Truma Gedola, Hikdima Bekri the Levi is chayv in Truma Gedola? We should say that even Ekdimo Bekri should be potter from Truma Gedola because it was before Rias Pnei Abayis and there was no Kviyas to Maaseh. So the Pasuk that's Mechayev, we should say that that's a case where the Levi took the Truma, took his Maaseh Rishon after Rias Pnei Abayis when there was a full-fledged Chiyuv Truma. The only question is how to define the Gemara's answer of high idgan v'high lo idgan, and I think we would have to say that there are two dinim here in the shame. See, what would be if he was mafresh truma? I'm talking about truma gedol, of course. After kri, before rias pnei abayis. If I'm not mistaken, I have to research this further, that b'dieved the truma would be chal, where if he was mocked him before meruach, before kri, it would not be chal. So in other words, there's the chiv and the cheftza, and then there's the chovas gavra. The chiv cheftza, as far as truma is concerned, emerges with the kri, with the meruach. The chiv gavra is only after rias pnei abayis. But I don't know if that's true. So that has to be researched further. So let's finish here for today on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, two lines down from the top, and we'll go back to the Mishnah of Maaseh Sheni V'Hekdesh and Nifdeh.